Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are dealing with the last half of Colossians 3:5. You remember that this text has two categories of sins that are especially tempting to the people of God and especially damaging, especially easy to fall into the trap of these two sins, and they are, on the one hand, sexual impurity, and on the other hand, greed and covetousness. And here's what the text says: Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So in both of these categories, we are responsible to slay the sin and slay the parts of our life, the remaining remnants of our Adamic nature that are drawn to these things and that become instruments to draw us into these sinful temptations. Whether it's a wrong use of our mind, a wrong use of our eyes, a wrong use of our tongue, a wrong use of our hands and feet and other parts of the body, whatever it is our responsibility to put these things to death. Your members, your parts of your body, which are on the earth, this only pertains to this world, because once a child of God leaves this world and goes to heaven, then all sin is gone. All sinful thoughts are gone. All sinful temptations are gone. All sinful desires are gone. Sin is gone. We will be sanctified fully. We'll be holy, without sin, in the presence of the Lord. To that extent, our redemption will be complete, although final redemption comes with the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of our bodies to glorified bodies, and then our redemption will be completely and fully realized. But as far as the struggle with sin and the stumbling into sin that we struggle with now, and we fret and worry about this, as we should. We shouldn't be passive about it. We shouldn't take it lightly. We shouldn't be comfortable with sinning. We shouldn't be comfortable with the sinful temptations that are all around us. This is a battle. We've got to war. It's our responsibility to put these things to death. And there are these two categories that are particular pitfalls for the children of God. And that's why we need to give them careful attention. And so to that end, we gather together around the Word of God on this Tuesday, September 20, and we are able to do that because we have radio listeners like you who value this ministry sufficiently to help us with the finances to keep it going. Thank you. Well, the lusts of the flesh, the sinful, the sexual temptations, we've dealt with in abundance previously, last week. And now we're working on that second one, the sin of greed. Not only put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, and evil desire, but also, we read, covetousness, which is idolatry. And we saw in the broadcast yesterday, covetousness is the sinful desire to have more than I have, more than God has granted to me. It's an inappropriate craving. It's an unwillingness to be satisfied with what God has supplied. having food and raiment, we must learn therewith to be content, says the Apostle Paul. We are promised that God will supply our needs, food and clothing and shelter. I think you can put housing, shelter in the category of the things that are necessary. And then beyond that, whatever might be necessary for our particular circumstances in life, because God has each of us in different places. And so if God has put me in a place where I need transportation to do my job, that can be put in the category of a necessity, a need. And remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He knows what we need. Can you trust him for that? Can you submit to him, to his wisdom, to his determination as to what you need? But you see, it's our covetous hearts that are discontent with that. We're unhappy with that. If God isn't giving us what we think we need, or at least what we desire, God evidently hasn't agreed with our assessment of what we need to have, then we are discontent. We're not willing to let him be the judge of what we need. And that's what sin Paul is talking about here. Remember how Paul put it in Philippians chapter 4. He said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Paul's words are so gracious that sometimes we miss exactly what he's saying. He's couching all of this in very polite language. But what he's doing is thanking the Philippian church for their monetary gift. When he says, your care of me has flourished again, he's saying, you sent me some money. I thank you for that. I know you cared even before when you weren't sending money. You lacked opportunity. We don't know what was involved in that lack of opportunity. But he says, I'm grateful that your care of me has flourished again. But he says, I want you to understand, verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need. For I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. Here is the key to the whole thing. So that covetousness, which is idolatry, does not become a snare. Here it is. He says, verse 12, I know how to be abased, that is to be in poverty, and I know how to be abound, how to abound, that is to be in riches, to be in luxury. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 13 gets quoted frequently. Regularly, almost too much, and usually without any reference to the context. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, which sometimes is actually used in exactly an opposite way that Paul intended it here, as we find it in the context, and in contradiction to what he tells us in Colossians 3:5. Watch out for covetousness, which is idolatry, because sometimes what people mean when they quote that verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, is I can be rich if I want to be. I can acquire wealth. I can acquire houses and lands and cars, and I can be financially successful through Christ which strengthens me if I want to be. And that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, through Christ which strengthens me, I can learn to be both poor or rich and still honor the Lord in either situation. You see, there are a lot of people today preaching that God wants all of his people to be rich, and if you're not, it's because you're not paying attention. So come on, listen up now and find out what's available to you. And through Christ which strengthens you, you can be wealthy. That's not what Paul says. Paul says sometimes it has been God's purpose for my life to be in poverty. Other times, it has been God's purpose for my life to be in luxury. I can be content either way. If it's poverty, I'm okay with that. That does not create a problem in my mind. Why should it in ours? If I'm in luxury, I'm okay with that. Some people would say, well, of course, nobody would have a problem with that. Well, a lot of people do have a problem honoring God in that situation. But Paul is saying, I've learned to accept that and to utilize that, to honor God. Either I can honor God either in riches or in poverty, in abundance or in need. Need. Both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so the sin of covetousness that we're dealing with in Colossians 3:5 is that desire that we will not put to death for that which God has not granted at this time in my life. And it's serious. Paul says this is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. And what is idolatry? That's worshiping something in the place of God. The 10th commandment relates to the first commandment. The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods above me. God demands supreme place. God demands the only place of our worship. The 10th commandment is, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet anything which is thy neighbor's. And they are related, because covetousness is a devotion to material resources, to love them more than we love God. Covetousness is to trust in money for security rather than to trust in God. Covetousness, which is idolatry, is to seek satisfaction in things instead of in God. This is one of those things that there are a lot of sins that a true biblical church will confront members and insist that they repent and change. Now, most churches today don't pay any attention to that, but for example, if a Bible-believing church has a member that is known, is found to be involved in an immoral relationship, in an adulterous relationship, a true biblical church is going to confront that person, demand that they cease, call upon them to repent, and then restore them to good fellowship, and if they're unwilling to do that, put them out of fellowship. But it's been said that if a member falls into adultery, we discipline them, but if they get rich with money, we make them a deacon. Well, maybe that's not such a good idea. Or another way somebody put it was, if a Christian gets drunk with wine, we discipline them. If they get drunk with money, we make them an officer in the church. Shame on us. Shame on us that so pervasive is this worship of money, covetousness, which is idolatry, that many times churches demonstrate their failure to root covetousness out of their hearts by exalting in their membership those members who are plainly guilty of covetousness. But because they have been financially successful, we honor them, even though there are other sins that we would confront and require people to abandon. We haven't learned the lesson of Colossians 3:5. Well, join me tomorrow. Until then, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.